Welcome to the New World Order Disorder, a weekly broadcast hosted by Dr. Gianni Hayes. Stay tuned. Things are about to get interesting.
This is Dr. Gianni Hayes, and we're back with my show, The New World Order Disorder, on the American Voice Radio Network, and we are heard worldwide. And as I say to you every week, I want to thank my sponsor, newswithviews.com. Please go to that site. Check it out. Lots of great articles there. Check out the site, americandrugtestingconsultants.com, and get yourself a cell phone filter. Please protect your ears and your family's ears from tumors and brain tumors and whatnot. My guest tonight is Pastor Fred R. Coulter, and he's been with me for the first hour. We've had an enlightening conversation. He's offering a great, great gift to you listeners, absolutely free. It's about a $60 value. It's a book called Occult Holidays, or God's Holy Days, which, as well as a study Bible that's over 900 pages. And these are free. I mean, he's not trying to sell anything. He's not trying to push anything. But, you know, you have the opportunity to get some free books here, so you just go to his site or my site. My site is GianniHayes.net, and there's a link on there to his site. You just click on that link. It goes right to his site, which is www.cbgc.org, cbgc.org. Two free books. The one on occult holidays, it teaches you a lot. The other one is a fantastic study Bible. Can't ask for more. It's free. You don't pay anything. So I could tell you as an author, authors don't like to give away their books, but his organization is doing this as a gift to all you listeners. There are no strings attached. You know, feel free to go there. So Pastor Coulter, right before we went to break, we were talking about Israel today and how it compared, and the Jews today, how it compared with the 12 tribes.
Okay. Let me just mention that website again. It is CBCG, Christian Biblical Church of God.org. CBCG. Okay. Let me give you a real quick summary of it. The Bible shows us that Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, had 12 sons. And just before his death, he passed the official blessing that was given to Abraham, where God told Abraham that in you all nations shall be blessed. And his grandsons, through Joseph, are called Ephraim and Manasseh. And here is the blessing that he gave them. Now, as I read these things, I want you to think about modern-day Britain and America, beginning especially with the reign of Queen Elizabeth on down to our day, so that you understand when I read this. Then I'll back up and give you a little history of what happened to them after they went into the Promised Land, okay?
Okay.
So he blessed them, and he said, the angel, he said here, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long to this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, blessed the lads. Now this is an official blessing to go down through time in history, which comes to our day. Let my name be named upon them, and let the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac also be on them. And let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now those are great nations. Now the nation of Judah today, in Palestine, is not a great nation. It is a small nation. There are no more than 15 million Jews in the whole world in dispersion, not in nations. So then, here's what the blessing would be upon them. And he blessed that day, saying, in you shall Israel be blessed, and God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And he said of Ephraim that he would become a multitude of nations and that Manasseh would become a great nation. And other prophecies show they were to have the finest geographical places in the world. They were to have the gates of their enemies. They were to be a strong, warring people. Now, Ephraim and Manasseh have nothing to do with the Jews because the Jews come from the tribe of Judah, which is one of the 12 tribes. And Ephraim and Manasseh are two of the 12. You actually have 13 because Levi was scattered among them.
Right.
Now, let me read the blessing that was given in the latter days to Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough over by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have shot, have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. And this describes our nation today, many wars. But his bow abode in strength. He overcame. He won. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, upon which the queen and king of England are now coronated. Even by the God of your father, who shall help you, and by the Almighty, who shall bless you with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies under, blessings of the breast and the womb, and the blessings of your father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors under the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. They shall be upon the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren.
Okay, so putting that into common words, what does it mean?
It means that the United States and British Commonwealth received those blessings from God, and we are the descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel. Now, how did that happen? When the children of Israel conquered Canaan, they each received an inheritance. And they were separate tribes until the time of Saul and David, and they were united, the 10 tribes, and Judah and Benjamin and Levi were united with the 10 northern tribes. Then that they were united under Solomon. Because of the sin of Solomon, God said he would take away 10 tribes from Solomon and he would give them to Rehoboam. And they became known as the house of Israel. The Jews come from the house of Judah, and they are known as the house of Judah. And as a matter of fact, in the Bible, the word Jew does not appear until 1,200 years after Abraham. Abraham was not a Jew. Isaac was not a Jew. Joseph was not a Jew. None of the 12 tribes were Jews. The only ones who were Jews were the ones from the tribe of Judah. So Israel sinned. God sent them off into captivity in 721 to 718 B.C. by the hand of the Syrians, who carried them up into the area of Parthia and Scythia, and they actually became the dominant powers up there. And the Jews stayed in the area of Judea, and they were faithful to God, much more so than the Israelites. And finally, they sinned worse than the Israelites and were carried off into captivity beginning in 605 to 585 B.C. and carried off to Babylon, and they returned and rebuilt the temple. In the meantime, the 10 tribes, who were the majority of the people, they didn't just disappear and get lost. They migrated westward, and through the centuries ended up as Anglo-Saxon in England, and those who possessed northwestern Europe and the Scandinavian countries. And then there was a separation of the brothers of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, when the Revolutionary War occurred and the founding of America. So that's why these two great nations have been a blessing to the world, bringing civilization, bringing God's word, bringing law, bringing order, bringing wealth. That's why they're great nations. Now,
okay,
just like anything that happens, when people sin, God judges them. So that's what we're experiencing to date. Now, let me give another reference here. Here's a wonderful book.
Yeah, because I want to ask some questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Are you saying to me that the Israelites today, those in Israel, are not the true Jews?
No. Those who are in Palestine who are Jews are from the tribe of Judah, from the tribe of Levi, and they have just a few descendants from the other tribes.
They're not the Edomites that were there originally? That is talked about in Deuteronomy?
There's also an intermixture of Edomites with the Jews, which is another whole long topic. But the prophecy in the book of Zephaniah said that to the Jews, they would have a safe haven on the coast.
Right.
Which is near where Tel Aviv is today, and they would have a foothold in Jerusalem. Now,
okay.
To the west are the Palestinians, and the Jews, no, those are the Philistines.
Mm-hmm. All right. I was curious about that. I'm not sure it totally answered my question, Fred, but I know we're short
okay.
on time, so I'm going to have you come back on. But let me go to this topic, because it's our Halloween show, and I do want to
okay.
concentrate on that. First, let me backtrack for just 1 minute. Well, you were
yes.
saying that all these children who disappeared, and besides children, there are certainly teens and whatnot who have disappeared, and,
yes.
and you know, kidnappings, whatnot. Do you think they're being kidnapped as sex slaves, as labor slaves, as sacrifices, or... And who is doing it? Who's doing the kidnapping?
Probably all of the above. Probably everything that you have mentioned there. So it is done by secret organizations, and they don't reveal themselves. Of course, they don't come out in the open. So that's why I said, where have all the children gone? If this does not occur, where have they gone? They don't find bones. They don't find dead bodies.
So do you think they're being sacrificed?
It's a strong possibility. Something's happening to them.
Who's doing it? You say secret societies, but are we talking about...
Many
now?
Different people, Satanists, witches,
Okay, that leads right into what I want to talk about, Fred. That was what I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Do you think the Illuminati today, which is pretty much the umbrella of all the secret societies, particularly the Skull and Bones, of which our president belongs to, do you think that these are satanic, and do these people truly believe that Satan is in a physical form that they can conjure up or they can communicate with?
Okay. Let me answer that question by giving you a biblical answer. All right. Now, have you ever heard of Dr. John Coleman?
Yes.
Okay. And he talks about the Committee of 300, right?
Right. And I've heard of
okay.
the Committee of 300.
Okay. The Committee of 300 are composed of the super elite, super rich of the world.
Right. I agree
okay?
with you.
Okay, now, let's come here to Matthew, the fourth chapter, and I want to read you what Satan said to Jesus. Okay? Verse 8. After that, the devil took him. Now, this is temptation between Satan and Christ, and this confrontation had to take place. Took him to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Luke adds it in a moment of time.
Okay.
And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. See. Now, what does this represent? See, Satan is the god of this world, and there are people who worship him. And there are those who worship him directly. Now, in many of these so-called secret societies, these are the ones that the super elite belong to. So they are not going to say, oh, yes, we do this. Of course not. But where do they get their power if all of this is delivered, if all of this is delivered to Satan? Where do they get their power? Where do they get their authority? Where do they get their riches?
Fred?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. For you, is Satan a physical form? I mean, is this a form of a human that people are worshiping? Is it? If so, is he a beautiful star, as they believe, or is he a Grigori, a fallen angel that we've seen pictures of? I mean, what? Tell me what you think he. I mean, do they see this man, a man as Satan? Do they see Satan?
I don't know. I've never been there. But
gee, it makes two of us. I might have been walking around
and
here.
You see, and you see, if you study into the depths of things like Masonism and Knights of Columbus and everything, you get up there to this great, great unknown that you can finally worship, you see. And so that's part of the sign of it. But what is Satan? Satan is the great deceiver who is called the god of this world. And we're coming to the whole end of this thing with the occult that we're talking about is going to come to the fruition of a great world order, which will be satanic. They're going to amalgamate all religions together. And it's going to end up in the complete dictatorship of the whole world through the mark of the beast. And then Satan is going to manifest himself in such a way that it's almost incredible. It says in Revelation 13 of this great beast, it says that the dragon, or Satan, gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. See? And it also says that Satan is deceiving the whole world. So this whole thing is developing, so where you have your program, the New World Order Disorder, you've got it named correctly. And it is coming. It's prophesied to come.
So
now, here's what it says concerning the beast. He's going to receive a deadly wound, but it's going to be healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast, and they worshiped the dragon who gave his authority to the beast, just like it was promised to Jesus if he would have worshiped him. See? And they worshiped the beast, saying, who's like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him? Now, here's the authority that he is going to have. All who dwell on the earth, verse 8, will worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he was given power to make war against the saints and overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. And so this is what all of this occult is coming to. This is why the thinking of people, not only just kids, but adults and every nation, everywhere in the world, is being molded and prepared for this event.
I believe that. Now, let me ask you something. Is it feasible that you could be a Christian and you could follow Christ and believe in him, but not have your name written in the book? In other words, is there predestination? Does God determine before we're even born, or even while we're in existence? Well, you're going to go to heaven. You're not going to go to heaven, but you, Bobby, over there are going to heaven. Mary, you're staying home.
Okay. Good question, because a lot of people believe that. No.
I know
they
do.
What is predestined is God's plan. Those who answer God's call, then, are predestined to become part of God's plan. They are not predestined. Some predestined to hell, some predestined to salvation, in that sense. No, otherwise there wouldn't be any choice.
Right, no
See,
free will.
And you're talking about fatalism or that which in Buddhism is called karma.
Yes.
See, and that actually is a Hindu-Buddhist concept.
And it's also New Age.
Pardon?
It's also
New Age. Yeah, it's also New Age. Well, New Age is Buddha and Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I point out in the book with Deepak Chopra. You read the section there where it says that the end result of all of my search for God is that I find myself that I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, no, what has to happen is this. A Christian is one beginning, let's go to the beginning of it. One has to seek God, be convicted of the truth of God, see his or her own sins, and deeply repent of those sins, and then be baptized. And then receive the Holy Spirit. It's not just a profession. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Yes, Jesus, take away my sins, and I open my heart to you, and here's a zipper, and you can come in. It's not that way. It is a deep, and it is a profound, and it is a very deeply moving experience, and there are few who are called. Now, there are others who fit into a different category that Jesus talked about when the disciples came and said, Lord, there's another man casting out demons and preaching in your name. Let us go call fire down from heaven upon him. He said, leave him alone. He said, if they are not against me, they are on our part. So to answer your question, yes, there are a lot of people who consider themselves to be Christian and are trying to do good in their lives, especially in the evil world in which they are living, and God will recognize that, but that does not necessarily mean that they are called to salvation. So there are many people who are going to church who think they have salvation, but they are not in the category really of salvation that the Bible talks about with the kind of covenant that God has laid out for those who are true Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, how do you know? How do you know which ones are and which ones are not? Okay.
Fred, let me ask you something. Okay. We're just kind of chatting here, so I just want to throw this out. Do you think that 9/11 was an inside job, or do you think the Muslims did it? And are the Muslims out there to convert Christians to Islamism? I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about it. 9/11, very interesting thing that happened. No, it was not an inside job. When you look at everything that has taken place, there is no way that the government would have the ability to do what some of these
why would
conspiratorial...
you say that?
Huh?
I mean, I'm just curious why you would say they wouldn't have the ability to do that. I think they have more than the ability. These people, we are a very advanced society. We may be on a downside, but we are advanced enough to have planned that.
Okay. Well, let's look at it this way. An event that large had to have the hand of God in it. And since we are a nation that is rejecting God and turning our backs on God, then God will bring things like this to call our attention to return to him. And remember when 9/11 occurred, there was, you know, God bless America, everybody go to church and pray, go to synagogue and pray, etc., etc. But God raises up enemies to correct his people.
Mm-hmm.
That's evident throughout all the Bible, throughout the whole Old Testament. When Solomon sinned against God by having so many wives and actually building temples and altars to other gods for his 300 wives and 700 concubines, God raised up Hadad to be a terrorist against him as punishment for his sins. Now, it gets back to the thing that I covered concerning abortion. See, so let me just answer the question from a scriptural point of view this way. Does God rule over the nations, though he has Satan the devil as the god of this world for people who reject him? Yes, he does. Does God raise up enemies against those who sin, whether they are Israel or whether they are other countries? Yes, he does. God judges all nations. Jeremiah 18. He says that if a nation is doing good, I will bless it. He said if that nation turns from doing good, then I will judge it. And I won't bless it. So that's where we are here with this. And the terrorist event really is a warning from God. And it's quite ironic that here we have the Bible, we have the truth, we have the knowledge of God. We started the nation with the Bible, with our Creator, with keeping the commandments of God, with loving God, with taking care of each other, and God opened up the vastness of this nation for us with the incredible wealth and blessing and everything that is here. And now we can't even have the name God Almighty in an official funeral ceremony.
Okay.
For the veterans, you see. So, okay, time for a break.
Yeah, it's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we have lots more to talk about, listeners. Go to GianniHayes.net and click on the link for Fred's free books. We're coming right back. You're listening to American Voice Radio.
Family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landsat.com. That's freezedryguy@landsat.com or call 530-265-8333, 530-265-8333, and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
How do I love to listen to AVR? Let me count the ways. Listen online to your choice of seven streams by going to theamericanvoice.com. For those who don't have access to a computer, you can listen on your phone through our phone bridge Monday through Friday from 9 to 9 Pacific by calling 1-712-580-1100. Enter the code 97524#. This is not toll-free, but if you have unlimited long distance or cell minutes, it's great. Turn on your speakerphone so everyone can hear AVR, or go about your daily routine while you listen online or on the phone. We're also on KU Band Satellite and on many FM stations, so look for us there too. Go to theamericanvoice.com for more details. And while you're there, check out our news page for the latest alternative news.
Of the spin and silly stuff coming out of the dominant mainstream media and gossipy news sites that aren't covering the big stories and issues of the day? Do you value credibility and accurateness from an investigative journalist? News with Views is proud to say that our writers and news items focus on the most critical issues facing this nation today. We are especially proud that our fine lineup of writers are the best in the country and are known for the accuracy of their reporting and the material contained in their columns. News with Views strives to bring you the best in news and commentaries to educate and enlighten our readers. So visit us at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion. Whether you call it commercial redemption or accept it for value, The Commerce Game Exposed is the book that will help you understand this process. The fact is, there is no lawful money in circulation. The explanation and details as to how this happened are enlightening, and the instructions concerning what one can do with this information are detailed and easy to understand. Utilizing this process is not for everyone, but learning how lawful money has been turned into commercial debt instruments should be of concern to everyone. The Commerce Game Exposed book is a good tool to learn the commercial nature of the New World Order. To order the Commerce Game Exposed, go to www.theamericanvoice.com or call 541-826-9050. That's 541-826-9050.
My show, The New World Order Disorder, and we're on the American Voice Radio. You know that is not my regular theme song. My regular theme song is The New World. So by Vorjon.
Oh, yes.
It went right out of my head, Fred. I cannot believe that.
That's wonderful. That's one of my favorite ones.
Well, that is my theme song, but tonight we were playing as my producer and I because we wanted to have a little bit of fun. So that's from the Halloween movie.
Okay.
Listeners, my guest, Pastor Fred Coulter, has been generous and kind enough to offer free books to you. And I don't know very many authors who do that or organizations who do that. I know as an author myself, I don't do that unless it's something very special. And he must think all of you are special because he's offering what is essentially a $60 value free to you. There is a 900-page Bible study book that is so detailed that you'll sit down for a long time just studying it. And then he has this great book that we're talking about tonight, which is Occult Holidays or God's Holidays, which, you know, which are they? And this book is more than just talking about Halloween and different things. It has in there end times, and it has in there about the whole transformation of religion and where we are today and how we got to be where we are and keeping God's laws. So I'm telling you, you've got to do that, and it's very simple. All you have to do is go to his site, which is www.cbcg.gc. Which is that, Fred?
CBCG.org.
CBCG.org. Or go to my site, GianniHayes.net. Gianni, G-I-A-N-N-I, Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S.net. There's a link on there. Brian, my wonderful webmaster, put that link up for you. So all you have to do is just click on that. And it'll click right to Fred's site. So if you do that and you go to Fred's site, Pastor Coulter will send you these two books as gifts, and I'm telling you, if you don't take advantage of this, it's your loss, because I don't have too many guests come on who are that generous. There are some people come out and put out their books or give you a special offer, but he's doing a little bit more than that, so that's very generous of you, Pastor Coulter. Right before we were going to break, we started to talk about the different aspects of religion and various things, but I know we're running out of time, and I know we have a lot to talk about. So let me ask you about this first. Just because I want to cover end times in the 20 some minutes we have left. But what about the Illuminati? Is the Illuminati truly satanic? And do they truly? I mean, I've had guests on my show who have been ex-Illuminati, ex-Freemasons, who say these things that go on, Fred, where they actually go into, like, underground caves and worship Satan, that they have meetings where they leave one chair empty at the meetings for Satan to arrive. I mean, is that really the case, or are these just a bunch of people who have so doggone much money that they'll do anything to mess us, and it's not necessarily satanic or witchcraft or Wicca or anything?
Oh, they're probably telling you the truth in that case. Because there are those who do that. There would have to be.
Why would there have to be?
Because the Bible shows there are people dedicated to evil and there are people who serve and worship Satan the devil.
So people who go to psychics and people who do astrology and play with the zodiac and do seances, are these people opening portals of some type?
Yes, in many cases they're opening portals because they're dealing with familiar spirits. They're dealing with demons. There is such thing as demon possession. That's what a lot of insanity is. It is demon possession, and psychiatry cannot help them.
And is this because they have opened themselves to that, that the demons come in and possess them? Or if they were Christians, were they not protected in Christ's blood?
Well, you see, when Christians... those who profess Christianity, let's put it this way. Anytime someone turns from God, whether they're Christian or whether they're just anybody in the world who believes in God and starts dabbling in these things of the occult, many times they will want to get into deeper and deeper things because of the lure of more and more spiritual power. And that's how Satan does it, through witchcraft. He does it through his holidays, especially Halloween. This is his big day. And,
I was going to say, the little kids who go out and go out for candy, does this mean that they are in some way God's pawns, or that they're in some way violating Christian beliefs?
Well, let's put it this way. They are out there as sort of an initiation into the funds of Satanism. They don't think of it as Satanism. Their parents don't think of it as Satanism. It's just something. They get candy. They have a good time. They put on costumes. They laugh and jump up and down and have all, you know, go out with their friends and things like this. So, no, they are not dabbling directly in contacting familiar spirits or demonism from that point of view. But this is a first step initiation into it when they're kids.
Okay.
So, you know, when you grew up, you probably went out and were trick-or-treating.
I did a couple of times. But I'm sure my parents did not think of it in those terms. I mean,
no.
It was just
people don't think
thing.
Of it in those terms because it is sanctified by the church. It's something to do, and mm-hmm. it's fun. You see, this is how Satan gets the inroad. He brings it in first as fun and as exciting. And then for those who want to go in deeper, then they're drawn in more and drawn in more. And drawn in more. And today, then, you have to add into it the drug society, all of those things that happen, you know, with the drugs. That's all a part of being drawn into Satan's way, in Satan's world. It doesn't mean that they're Satan possessed or that they, in every case have given themselves over to Satanism and demonism, but they've given themselves over to evil and sin.
Okay, we have a caller, Pastor. So, caller, are you there?
What is your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Bill Gianni from South Carolina.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Hanging in there.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I have a question. It's kind of off the subject a little bit. But I'd like to go back to something that was said the second half hour, and my question for the pastor is this. What type of baptism is necessary in order to become a Christian? water baptism or Holy Spirit baptism?
Okay, very good question. The answer is this. When a person truly repents and is baptized with water repentant, water baptism, that's full immersion in water, okay, then afterwards there is the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit.
One know who to go to in order to have hands laid on them to receive the Holy Spirit.
Then you have to find someone who teaches the truth, who is preaching Christ, who believes in obedience to God and love toward God, believes in the grace through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Christ, but also it encompasses keeping the commandments of God. So that's why people need to search out and prove things and test them all by the Word of God so they can know, because there are many deceptions, there are many religions, there are a lot of confusion. You have some baptism which is by water immersion, you have some which is dabbing, you have some which is sprinkling, you have infant baptism, which never counts because infants know nothing and they have no knowledge of sin and they don't even know what's going on. So just forget infant baptism. That's completely futile as far as God is concerned.
Bill?
The thought, then what would happen to the one thief on the cross to whom Jesus said, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise, because
no,
he didn't...
That's a mistranslation. It should say, I say to you today, I'm telling you today, or today I'm telling you, you shall be with me in paradise. He didn't say when. Because if he went to paradise that day, then he got there before Jesus, who was the firstborn from the dead.
Well, I understand that, but the issue still remains that, A, he didn't have any water baptism, and, B, nobody laid hands on him.
Well, that doesn't mean he has salvation. That's why you need to get the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, because when you read in the book of Revelation, all of those who are not Christ's, but who have not sinned the unpardonable sin. It says there in Revelation 20 that the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years are over. So there's a whole vast understanding that God has in the Bible concerning those that he has blinded, that he's never called, that never were had an opportunity for salvation, or for those who followed a false religion or were misled or whatever, and they haven't committed the unpardonable sin, they're going to be resurrected to a second physical life or an opportunity for salvation.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the answer.
Hey, Bill, thanks for calling.
They're going to call Gianni.
All right. Fred, listeners, by the way, if you want to call in, 1-800-433-1429. The phone is open. We are live, and you could talk to Pastor Colder directly or go to the chat room at AmericanVoice.com, AmericanVoiceRadio.com, and when you get to the top, go to the right-hand side, click on chat room, and there you are. So, Fred, let me ask you this, then. You know, you truly believe, then, there are witches and there are people out there who are practicing all kind of the black arts, and can they conjure up truly demons? Can they conjure up spirits?
Oh, yes, they can. Sure they can.
But how do we know that's true? I mean, has anybody ever seen a spirit conjured up at a table?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The first entrance into that is the Ouija board. And the Ouija board is actually a calling card for demons to come. That's how, when they say, everyone put your hands on the table and then the table rises, they're demonic powers that raise the table. So there are varying degrees of it, too, you see. But there are witches. There are people who practice witchcraft. There are even children now in school because of Harry Potter who have little covens.
Mm-hmm.
And they practice bringing curses upon teachers and curses upon parents. Mm-hmm. So, yes, those things are there.
So
I personally, with other ministers, have cast out demons.
You personally
cast them
have
out
done
of
that?
Individuals, cast them out of houses. There are such things as haunted houses.
Mm-hmm.
There are abodes of demons. There are also demons that follow families.
And if the families are Christian, would they stay with them? I mean, I thought that was part of being Christian. If you were truly quite Christian, you were swathed in Christ's blood and you were protected.
Okay, well, that's true if you're truly Christian, but there are millions and millions and millions who believe they are Christian but are not.
Then how do they know they're not? I mean, what makes them not Christians compared to, if they think they're Christians, what makes them not really a Christian then?
Okay, good question. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
But we're all sinners.
Yeah, well, that doesn't make any difference. You have forgiveness of sin. But in order to stop living in sin, you have to keep the commandments of God. You know, if someone would just say, take the Ten Commandments, okay? Is it good to have no other gods? Yes, we've been talking about Satan and other gods. He says, don't make any image of any kind of any likeness, you see. So everyone who has an idol, though they profess Christianity, is not a true Christian.
Okay.
Because he said, don't make anything. Then don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, many preachers do that because they say things that God did not say. So here comes the first test sign of where true Christians ought to be. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, the fourth commandment, which is from creation. It's not the Jews' Sabbath. It is not Israel's Sabbath. It is God's Sabbath, and he never changed it. Then you go down through the other commandments. Then you also look at the holy days that God has. That's why the book called Holidays are God's Holy Days. Which days do people keep? And then it is a spiritual significance where Paul wrote that if anyone have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Then it gets down to, do you love God? Do you keep his commandments? Have you been, have you really repented of your sins? Have you been truly baptized? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Are you walking in the way of God? Are you keeping his commandments? Do you love him? Is your whole life dedicated to him? Yes, then you're talking about a true Christian. So there are millions who think they're Christians, but they're not. Granted, they keep many biblical precepts. And in keeping many of those biblical precepts, they have blessings in their lives for doing that as evidence from God that now you need to go one step further. Now you really need to come and understand what is the full way of God. Do you want to go part way, third way, halfway, three quarters, or do you want to go 100% as God says? That's why he's got his Bible. That's why the Word is there. That's why I did the New Testament in its original order, so you can understand exactly what a true, proper translation from the Greek really is. And this has been reviewed by many people, and they've said it's an excellent translation. So that's one reason I'm offering it, to help answer the question, what is a true Christian?
Yeah, what is a true Christian? Fred, tell me something. Do you think that Catholics are Christians?
Let's put it this way. If they have idols in their homes, if they go through the rosary, if they follow what the priest says, and if they have the Eucharist, all of those are not in the Bible, and so therefore their belief that they are Christian is misleading. Now, they may be sincere, which they probably are. They may be very devoted, which they probably are. And they may have been raised as Catholics, which they probably were. But have they read their Bibles? Do they know the truth? Do they understand what God is teaching?
I guess what I'm asking you, can you be Catholic and be Christian? Can you believe the Bible and read the Bible, and but still attend Catholic Church and still be considered a Christian?
I'll tell you this. If you believe the Bible and want to follow the Bible, you can never attend a Catholic Church because you'll be confronted with idols, which are an abomination to God, and he says you should not go into a place with idols. So each one has to make the decision on that himself.
But do we not?
I don't know the hearts of anyone. There may be some very sincere Catholics out there who go to Mass every Sunday who are really seeking the truth. Like one woman I talked to who went to a Presbyterian church for 20 years and said every Sunday, I don't know why we don't keep the Sabbath.
But is money not an idol? I mean, if that's the case, Fred, we're all worshiping idols because, you know, in some place we're all out there trying to make some money.
Well, if that's the consuming thing, then money can become an idol. Cars can become an idol.
Right.
God says God condemns us because we worship the things which our hands have made, you know. And you look at one of the latest ad with Mercedes-Benz. They're laying on the car, I love you, I love you, I love you, you know.
Right, but I'm saying, you know, if that's the case, we all are worshiping some kind an idol. I know you're talking about, when you say an idol, you're talking about the statues that are in the Catholic Church. I know that that's your particular reference. Is that not true?
Or Buddhist church or Hindu or whatever, yes.
Right. Right. What about the Trinity? Is that not a Christian doctrine?
Not in the Bible whatsoever, period.
So people who believe that God is made up of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are terribly misled?
Yes, they are, and the translators have lied and have done violence to those scriptures in the New Testament, and I fully explain it in the New Testament in its original order. Let me just come to one scripture here. Very interesting. The finality of the plan of God when New Jerusalem is on the earth. If the Holy Spirit is God, where is he? Verse 22, Revelation 21, and I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty, who is God, and the Lamb, who is God, are the temple of it. Where's the Holy Spirit mentioned? It's not, because the Holy Spirit is the power of God. It is not the third person in a Trinity, and a Trinity is, the word is not even in the Bible. Nowhere does it substantiate that. And one of the leading authors of... let's see, I forget his first name, but his last name is Wallace, which I quote in my appendices on the Holy Spirit in the New Testament in its original order. He said there is no, absolutely no place in the Greek where it reflects the personality of the Holy Spirit. It is not there.
But the Holy Spirit supposedly inspired the apostles to write the Bible and
as
the others.
The power of God. Coming from God, coming from the Father, coming from Christ, not as a separate entity. See, it's the power of God. Mary was
okay. If there's no Trinity, Fred, then is
yes.
there no antithesis to that Trinity? Meaning, Satan, the Father, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. That was supposedly the antithesis. The Hegelian dialectic to the Trinity. So is that the case then? There's not a Trinity in Satan as well?
Yeah, there is. There's the beast, the false prophet, and Satan.
But there's not a Trinity with God?
No. No, every word is the duality of God. And we have lots of literature on that. We have some of that online on our website, cbcg.org. So we have lots. It is a detailed subject and needs to be approached in a systematic study.
Okay, let me get my last question in because we have less than 5 minutes, Fred, and I know we could talk about all kind of things because at some point
okay.
I want to talk about Bible translations and various things. But tell me this, the fallen angels, we mentioned it earlier in terms of also the giants, the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, Are the fallen angels the Nephilim, or are the Nephilim the result of the fallen angels mating with women? Or was it not even the fallen angels who mated with women, it was the sons of gods who were the ancient gods of mythology?
No, neither. There in Genesis 6, the sons of God have to do with the physical descendants from Noah, and angels are not created with the power of procreation, holy angels or fallen angels. So therefore, as Jesus said, they are not married, they don't marry or are given in marriage. So that is a completely false Kabbalist interpretation of Genesis 6:4. And in the coming Bible, I've got all the scriptures which show that.
Well, I want to follow up on that, but I have a question here, actually two that I need to ask you. One is, have you heard of The Golden Compass, which is a movie that is coming out, and it's supposed to be very, very dark and dangerous, and I'm not so sure why, but the person in the chat room asked me to ask you that, and another person asked me to ask you, in the short time we have left, is that will Jesus not return to us if we have fallen and repent? Will he not come back to us? I think that's how the question was worded.
Oh, yes. Anytime someone repents, you have the parable of the prodigal son, and you have the parable of the 99 and the one. Yes, Jesus, there's forgiveness for people at any time they truly repent. And they don't have to go to a priest, and they don't have to sit in a confessional booth. And like one man who was disgusted with doing that, he went in a confessional booth, and he says, okay, Father, you go first.
Okay, what about the compass? The golden compass?
I know nothing about it. But if it is so deep in a cult, that is, again, preparing people for the occult world.
Brad, who's going to win, Hillary or Giuliani? Who do you think? Come on, we got 1 second.
Okay.
Thank
I don't know
you,
who's
going
to win, but if Hillary gets in, look out.
I know. Thank you, Fred. Listeners, thank you all for listening tonight. Good night and God bless. Okay, thank you, Fred. And all of you, go to GiannHayes.net and order those books from Fred. And good night, God bless. Tune in next week for Freeman.